sadly 10 yards to carry in his last two games. He had the entire Dolphin team with their tongues dragging on that field, chasing them all over the place. The Bills made some moves this week. They got to upgrade the talent around them. And I had a conversation this week with the Hall of Fame quarterback. I'll leave his name out of it. He doesn't think there's much improvement with Josh. And I'm like, well, how can you evaluate this guy? He's running for his life. He's keeping him in these games. They're highly competitive. You can see what kind of athlete. He's a better athlete than I thought. And he's sailing a few balls, but he's not missing badly. He knows where to go with the ball.
That is Brian Baldinger from NFL Network on with One Bills Live yesterday. If you missed the interview, it's available in on-demand audio. Going to get some calls here. We're going to win a little hockey, a little football. We're kind of combining both today. Thanks for joining us. It is Football Friday, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And brought to you by Tops Markets Grocery Delivery. Save $15 on your first order with promo code TOPSWGR. Jeremy's off today. Brayton, me, we're here. We are getting you ready for the Bills-Jets on Sunday at the stadium. Good-looking forecast, right? Yeah, by December standards, yeah. Mostly sunny with a high around 32, 33. About a 10% chance of precipitation. Winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. So December home game, we'll take it. We are talking about Josh Allen, what you like from the last couple of games, what you see from the last couple of games. Far be it for me to assume that you like what you've seen. I think you should, but that's your opinion too. You can share that. And Bills, Jets, I'm feeling good. They should win this game on Sunday. Maybe not 41-10. But the Jets are having a lot of issues on offense. I like the Bills' defense matchup against the Jets' offense, and I like a lot of the things I've seen from Josh Allen. Remember, for what it's worth, LeSean McCoy is not having a good year at all. This is the one team he ran the ball well against, the Jets. So maybe they'll be able to get a big day out of LeSean McCoy again. 803-0550. Hockey. Yes, we're talking about the Sabres. Catch a little breath there from the 11 games and 19 nights. Key three-game stretch coming up on this homestand. You want to stop that losing streak. You want to start adding up some points again. And I think they've got a great opportunity with these next three games. The Flyers, the Kings, the Coyotes. Flyers are at the bottom of the East. The Kings have the worst record in the league. Coyotes are 11th in the West. You've got three very winnable home games. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the defensive injuries, but play like you did against Toronto. Bring that energy. Bring that passion. Bring that game. The way you came out and jumped on Toronto in the first period. If you bring that in these three games, I think you should be able to win two, if not all three, of these home games and start stacking some points again. So we'll talk hockey with you, too, on the Sabres. Whatever else. If we've missed something and you have a question, an opinion, a comment, we always love to hear from you. Tom in Rochester, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hi, Howard. Before I get to it, how much would you love to know who that Hall of Fame quarterback is?
Not overly. Everybody's got an opinion. I don't know that, it wouldn't make me feel any different. I feel how I feel about Josh Allen, and I wouldn't necessarily be swayed by one, two, three, or four, or five Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
What if it was Jim Kelly? That's my fear.
Whatever. I mean, I'm sure Jim Kelly hasn't been a fan of a number of quarterbacks that have been here over the years. I respect everybody's opinion on that. And those guys, right, they're Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You'd think they'd know. But at the end of the day, I tell you what I think when I watch the kid play. And I wouldn't, if Jim Kelly came out today and said the Bills should cut Josh Allen, I would tell him no. So what I don't really get too stressed out about that stuff.
Right. Okay. So I called for a little mishmash here. On the Bills, I just wanted to comment on the last gentleman that called about that complex trade and taking,
Oh, the Bortles contract?
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I just thought that the Bills are too far away and I think that I'm not saying the idea was a bad one. I'm saying I would be surprised if the Bills do it because their whole thing is not to overpay for players, right? So that to me is sort of the way they're going.
Well, they wouldn't be keeping Bortles. They would be doing it to add more draft assets.
Yeah, I understand. Anyways, more importantly, I want to talk about the Sabres, and I realized something after I called, but I was watching that Maple Leafs game thinking, oh my God, these guys are, the Sabres are so close to being a legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. And what I saw was if they had one more person put the puck in the net, and unfortunately Pominville's as close as we got, and then if we had one more defender, because that defensive combination of Dahlin and Ristolainen is awesome, and then we just completely sort of fell off afterwards, and I had forgotten that McCabe wasn't in the game. Mm-hmm. If we could somehow get one more defenseman, like number three, and one more guy who could put the puck in the net, I think we're looking at this. I think we're close, real close, to looking at a Stanley Cup contender, and I just wanted your opinion on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say close, and I wouldn't bring up Toronto as the example. I would bring up Tampa. And think about the lines, although Toronto's really deep as well when it comes to forwards, but think about what Tampa threw. I mean, the games against Tampa were a win and a loss, one goal where Carter Hutton stood on his head, and the other game was a one-goal loss. But, I mean, you just look at the firepower Tampa has. I look at them as a Stanley Cup contender, obviously, and I don't think the Sabres have enough offensive depth to get through four playoff series, okay? To get into the playoffs is one thing. I know you say this about the Bills. It's not supposed to be that long a drought. What is it with the Sabres now? 7 years, 8 years. It shouldn't be that long a drought. To get into the playoffs is one thing. To win four series is another. There are a lot of things to like about the Sabres. But if you look at the depth of their forwards, they really need to add more scoring. They are leaning far too much on the top line. They're leaning mostly on two guys, Jack Eichel and Jeff Skinner. When Pominville was up there, he was productive. He's actually still fourth on the team in scoring. Now, Reinhardt gets up there, and now he's on a hot stretch, and he's up to eight goals, and he's third on the team in scoring. So it's Eichel, Skinner, Reinhardt, Pominville. And then it's Ristolainen, and then you're at, you're looking at the secondary scoring, tertiary scoring, whatever. Opolso's got five goals. Sherry's got six. Okay. Mittelstadt, four. Rodriguez, one. Gergensen's two. Thompson had the little hot streak. He's got four, but he's still only got 6 points in 22 games. Sabotka's got three goals. I mean, you just need more depth. And you look at the lines Toronto can put out and Tampa can put out. They can go three deep, three lines deep with the ability to score goals. You got your top six forwards, and then you've got a checking line and a grind line. They can score with three lines. And then, the defenseman adding to the mix. So I still think the Sabres are not that close. I think they still need, they just don't have enough depth of consistent scoring. The goaltending has been really good. I think the play of the defense, it's definitely better than what it was. It's upgraded. But I think that, you can still look at Ristolainen, I like him, but he does still have moments where you kind of wonder what he's thinking. His game the other night was really good, but he still has some head-scratching moments in his own end that you worry about. But the biggest concern for me is forward scoring, okay? That's it. Now, the nice thing is when you get to the playoffs, nobody scores goals, but you just have to have a more dangerous team throughout. And we'll see. We'll see what Jason Botterill does. By the way, this is all knock on wood, assuming they can keep Skinner. Re-sign Skinner, extend him, whatever the case may be. But you look where you're going down at forward. I think if Botchel makes any trades this season, he's going to look to add scoring. And, maybe something does help from Rochester. Maybe it's Nylander. Maybe it's Olofsson. I would let my partner over here tell us more. Maybe it's CJ Smith. Maybe there are, some forward options in terms of scoring in Rochester, but I think that and by the way, in terms of adding another defenseman, maybe Pilot sticks or Gooley, whatever, Borgen at some point. I just think you still need to have more depth. Toronto's lineup is scary. The forwards they can put out on the ice, three lines. Tampa Bay's lineup is scary. The forwards they can put out on the ice. When you look at the Sabres, you would be worried about Eichel, Skinner, and whoever's on that line. And after that, there's really, right? Is there another line where you go, oh my God, how do we stop that line? You have to say that about the Leafs. You have to say that about Lightning. You don't say that about Buffalo right now. Who from Rochester are we talking about? Anybody this season, Brayton, in terms of the Amerks that can come up in terms of forwards this season?
With the depth part of that,
I'm talking about improving.
Right.
Well, actually, I mean, you'd like to improve your second line scoring, but at the very least, your bottom two lines. Can you get more production out of forwards in your bottom two lines? Is there anybody who could do that?
maybe guys like C.J. Smith or Victor Olofsson, but, I mean, still at this point, I think Victor Olofsson needs more time to continue to groom his game in the AHL. C.J. Smith has been kind of on a scoring slump in the American Hockey League. He's putting shots on net. He's getting chances that way, but he hasn't put anything in the back of the net. And Alex Nylander is not scoring goals at the pace that you probably want him to, but he's more of a playmaker as it is anyway. So Rochester's offense has kind of gone a little bit cold, but you know they have to address those issues as well. I think that you're probably your best option is C.J. Smith at this point to come up, and if you want Nylander, come up, because I think Nylander's actually probably been their best offensive player overall. But if you need goal scoring, probably C.J. Smith is your best option. But I mean, as of right now, it's not a bad thing that they're not scoring in Rochester because they're still winning games, but it's they definitely need more offensive output down there as Buffalo does up here.
And I think when it comes to the guys, you know, for sure, you know, guys like Olofsson and Nylander, I guess, yeah, he's still relatively young. I think the nice thing for the Sabres right now is you don't have to rush those guys here. You can let them develop in Rochester. In fact, they might still do that with Pilot. I mean, I think Pilot has looked very comfortable here in a very short time. And I know I'd like to see more from him. I don't think he has not looked overwhelmed by the NHL. And again, and we're talking, what, three games he's played in? So in a very small sample size, here's a guy who for me at least, I would say, you know, I'd like to see more from him. Now, he's probably going to be here for a little while. Nelson's week to week. McCabe is now week to week. So they're both out for a little while longer. Scandella apparently is the closest of the three to returning. So I think Pilot's going to be here for a while, and I'd like to see more from him. But the nice thing about Rochester is you don't have to rush those guys. Pilot wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for injuries. You're not at a point where you're saying, where we've been in recent years when things have been going bad with the big club, and we go, oh my God, there's got Bailey, Baptiste, somebody. Bring up somebody from Rochester because this is bad. You're not at that point right now. I think if you're Jason Bottrell and you're looking at this club and you do now have to think about, it isn't sell the future away. You're not going to abandon your development plan. You know, you're going to let the guys develop in Rochester. You're not going to sell the farm away. But I think you have to look at a team that sure looks like, even with this losing streak, still looks like it can make the playoffs this year. Good enough to be in the playoffs this year. And I think if that's the case, then he has to look at this team and say, where can we be better? What do I have to add? And if you want to make sure those guys can stay in Rochester and play and get their minutes and develop at the proper pace, in your opinion, then I think you look to add some forwards. Now, the nice thing is, and Brayton, this is, I'm going to have you come in on this as well. The nice thing is, you know, you do have, you're building depth in the organization. Okay. You do have some younger players. You have some forwards. You have, you know, some depth on defense. You know, we have Pilot here now, and you've got Gouley and Borgen. Am I missing anybody else in terms of defenseman depth?
Gouley, Borgen, not at this point.
But so you have, I mean, you have some assets to deal with if you're looking for, you know, adding a veteran winger, a scorer, whatever. Maybe even, who knows, maybe he goes a rental route. I'm not sure that he would do that at this point, but we'll see how things are going in February, approaching the trade deadline in March. You do have some nice depth in the organization that if Bottrell wants to make a trade to strengthen the big club, I think he's got assets to do that right now without weakening the long-term plan, selling the farm, blah, 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 blah. He's not just going to give away everybody in Rochester, but he's got some depth.
That's something that the team hasn't had in a very long time.
Right, because in recent years, we've been looking for Rochester for saviors. Now, you can look at it and go, okay, there's some guys there that might be helping the Sabres down the road this season, maybe. If not, then next season. Or you can use them as an asset to acquire something you need for the big club.
Right, and it's very good to see that when you've got players in Rochester, especially on the blue line, who it's just like, yeah, you could play Brandon Hickey a lot of the time, or you could play Jack Doherty, but you've got guys that are able to come in and out of the lineup just at free will. Because, I mean, they have players down there that have played very well with one another, and they've all got good chemistry. And with Lawrence Pilot now being up here, I bet he does go back to Rochester eventually once everyone else gets healthy. I mean, if everyone else doesn't get healthy, though, then obviously he's going to be here. But, you know, those guys are still trying to adjust without him because he's their best. I think he's their best player down there as of right now. It's one of their best overall players. And he's up here, and they're just, again, rotating in guys left and right, especially on the blue line. Their forward depth could be a little better, but you know, they're still winning games. They're still atop the division, and you know they're going to be there for helping the Sabres whenever they need, and they'll be just fine.
And that's one, that's a key thing too. And this is something that Jason Bottrell talked about when he first came to town, when he first took over the job, and you know, to build depth in the organization, to have a winner at the minor league level, you know, the whole, you know, culture and all this other stuff. But you know, you think about Pittsburgh and or any team, honestly, any team, you want to avoid injuries. Nobody does completely. So any team wants to have the ability of when you get an injury or injuries, like, you know, the run of injuries the Sabres have on defense now with three guys out of the lineup on defense. You want to be able to have a minor league team where you can go to and say, I don't necessarily need you to play here the rest of the season, but I need you to come up here and fill in now and help us, you know, and make sure we don't have a drop off in play. And, you know, knock on wood, the Sabres up until the last couple of weeks had been relatively injury free. Now they've got a run going on defense, but they haven't really had to deal with a whole bunch of injuries at forward. But you know, that's nice too, that you now look at Rochester and say, again, this isn't, we need someone to come up here and be a savior for the rest of the season. But if there are injuries, we have guys that can come up here and plug in. And you know, Pilot's been fine. Pilot is not hurting the Buffalo Sabres.
No, for
sure. So they have guys that can come in and handle the role they're asked to do until those players get healthy. That's great. That's part of building a winning organization. That's one of the many reasons why, you know, I think you should feel good where the Sabres are and how they're trending at this point.
The only thing that I'm, you know, that I'm concerned about is if a guy like Jack Eichel gets hurt.
I know.
Knock on wood that he does get hurt. But just let's hypothetically say one of the big guys get hurt who has a big impact on this team. I don't know if there's necessarily a guy right now in Rochester that you could come up here and you could legitimately say, okay, he's going to fill this specific role to help fill the gap, and they can do it at an admirable, you know, pace.
It's not just Rochester. There aren't a lot of guys around the NHL.
Right.
If you lost a guy like Eichel with everything
he does.
But
let's just say it's, I don't know, Casey Mittelstadt.
Yeah.
Casey Mittelstadt, I get it. He's a young second-line center, and you could have a guy like Berglund, or you can have a guy like Sobotka or somebody else, Rodriguez, fill in there. But I still don't think they're necessarily guys that can fill out that role.
Yeah.
There's not really anybody from Rochester right now that you could pull up from there and pretty much slot them in at somewhere and just say, like, hey, go do this job. Go do exactly what they were doing. Those guys down in Rochester still have a lot of room to grow, and they still got some work to do. I mean, Alex Nylander could come up and he could play just fine, but is he going to be able to fill in that spot for Connor Sherry if Connor Sherry's hurt again and if they call him up? I'm not sure about that, because Connor Sherry brings speed and he can play a really nice two-way game. Nylander's been playing really well two-way over the past 10, 15 games. I think he's been obviously one of their best players, but he certainly doesn't bring that speed aspect. He doesn't bring that veteran leadership or anything like that. So it's going to be a little bit difficult if something like that happens.
Yeah, and as Mittelstadt, he's not ready for that role. You know, it's bringing him along slowly. It's almost maybe he's a forward equivalent of what you're doing with Rasmus Dahlin. You watch the minutes, you watch how you're using them. Mittelstadt's not ready to handle number one minutes and play against the top, you know, line from the other team. Bite your tongue. Don't ever say those words again about you know who
Trust
getting
me,
injured.
I don't want to say it. I'm just bringing it up to the point where it's like,
I know, but I think it goes to, that's why, you know, the other night I said I was at the Sabres Leafs game. And when Eichel scored his first goal, sixth of the season, you know, they make the announcement in the building, Sabres goal scored by Jack Eichel, his sixth of the year. And some snooty Leaf fan behind me goes, six goals, wow, whoop-de-doo. You just, you know, it doesn't, I wanted to turn around and go, you have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea how much this guy is doing for this team right now. And him, you know, if heaven forbid anything happened with him, it's his impact on the team. It's his impact on Skinner. Right. I mean, that combination, Skinner's got 20 goals. And here he is talking about the, you know, how Eichel is drawing defenders and how Eichel is able to find him with these passes. So Skinner is open down low. Boom. There's the pass from Jack Eichel. Think about everything he's done. Sure. You might look at it and go, 7 goals, 29 games. 27 assists and the attention he draws and the possession skills he brings to the ice. And how many times have you seen him holding on the puck in the offensive end until Skinner gets free in space or Reinhardt or prior to that, Pominville? How many times has Eichel drawn a penalty with, you know, him holding onto the puck in the offensive zone? With everything he does, with all the attention he draws, it's creating space for so many other players. There's nobody you could put into that role who could do what Jack Eichel does for this team right now. Nobody.
Casey Mittelstadt might eventually develop into that nice second-tier
guy. That'd
who,
be great.
If something happens that way, that he can step in and maybe not put up the exact pace that Jack can, but he can at least keep everything running and keep everything going at a good pace.
Yep.
Casey Mittelstadt's not there yet, but the hope that he develops into that type of player, sort of like, I don't know, I'm going to throw out a team out there that just kind of popped in my mind. Like, let's just say in Anaheim, when these guys were younger, Ryan Getzlaf, top-line center. He gets hurt. Right behind him is Ryan Kesler, a nice second-line option that if you have to plug him in at the top line, he can do that, and he can keep everything running and everything operating at a normal pace.
803-0550 to join us. Talk a little Sabres. Talk a little Bills. It is Football Friday. We have phone lines open if you want to get in and join us. Football Friday presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And brought to you by Tops Markets Grocery Delivery. Save $15 on your first order with promo code TOPSWGR. Programming reminders. So the Sabres' next game is tomorrow. We'll have it here on WGR. It is a 1 o'clock game. So a little matinee hockey on your Saturday afternoon. That's great. You can still have date night. You can still have, I don't know, shopping for Christmas night and whatever you want to do. So 1 o'clock game tomorrow. We'll have it here on WGR beginning at noon with the pregame show. And then your Bills plan on Sunday, 7 o'clock fantasy breakfast, 8 o'clock game day, 10 o'clock countdown to kickoff. Come say hi. We do our show right outside there by the AdPro Sports Training Center. So come over and say hi. There's chairs there. You can heckle us. 1 o'clock kick, Jets Bills. Post game with Schopen the Bulldog and Nate Geary with the overtime show at 6. Speaking of the Bills, we'll get John Murphy's thoughts on Sunday's matchup against the Jets. That is on the way in a moment on WGR.
It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, John Murphy talks Bills with Howard and Jeremy. Brought to you by
M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills.
Murph coming up in a moment. The Sabres are back in action tomorrow at 1 o'clock. They were home for the Philadelphia Flyers, still banged up on defense, and the news got worse on Jake McCabe. He's now listed as week-to-week with the upper body injury. Casey Nelson, upper body week-to-week. Marco Scandella, upper body day-to-day. Jason Pominville expected back for the Flyers game tomorrow. We have full details on the latest from the Buffalo Sabres from our Paul Hamilton at WGR550.com. Looking on the scoreboard last night, Tampa won their fifth straight. They beat Boston. The Leafs lost in overtime to Detroit. Montreal beat Ottawa. Florida lost to Colorado. And the Flyers, who are here tomorrow afternoon, lost in overtime to Columbus. Standings, Tampa leads the Atlantic, 45 points. Toronto has 41. The Sabres remain in third place with 38. They are 5 points ahead of fourth place Montreal. On the Bills injury front, Jason Kroom did not practice yesterday with a groin. Isaiah McKenzie was actually added to the injury report with a toe injury, went on a limited basis. John Miller has been upgraded, if you will. He practiced fully, trying to come back from the oblique injury. Sam Darnold practiced fully for the Jets. There's no official word, but everybody is expecting he will start against Josh Allen on Sunday. Isaiah Crowell missed another day of practice, one of the Jets' running backs. Kelvin Benjamin has a new home. He agreed to a one-year contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sammy Watkins has been sidelined with an injury. We'll see if Benjamin suits up on Sunday. Tennessee beat Jacksonville 30-9 last night. What a night for Derrick Henry. A 99-yard touchdown run, part of a franchise record, 238 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns. Headlines brought to you by Exergen. Cold and flu season hits hard, especially for the millions of people living with heart disease, asthma, or cancer. A fever can be a sign of the flu, which could mean a trip to the emergency room. Use the number one hospital-preferred thermometer, the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Backed by more than 70 clinical studies, it's the best way to stay safe this cold and flu season. We are off to the West Hur Hotline. And John Murphy will be in the broadcast booth on Sunday, calling the game next to Mark Kelso. Of course, Sal Capaccio down on the sidelines. Murph joining us for his Football Friday segment. Good morning, Mr. Murphy. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well.
So are you the guy who taught Josh Allen all those rush moves? Is that where he got it from?
No, I think it's innate. I think it's inherently in him. And you know why? I think he's a really talented athlete, gifted in terms of speed and and size, but I really think it's his competitiveness coming out. You know, I think he's determined to make plays, determined to get a first down, run for a touchdown. I think that's what leads him to make those plays.
It's nice to see that, too. But now it's nice to see it when you can make plays with the competitiveness. But I thought, Murph, that the Jacksonville game, the same thing. And I thought maybe it's just because it was Jacksonville, you know, and Jalen Ramsey and all this other stuff. And it was an intense crowd with Doug Marrone there and everything. He played with a competitiveness like, man, we're going to win the game. I'm going to make plays, get the heck out of my way. But it showed up again in Miami last week. And maybe, you know, I hope that's a good sign that he is growing into that role of, this is my offense, let's go, boys.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he's had it since he got here. I recall saying back around the first preseason appearance he had how I was impressed by his competitive fire, and I saw it in the Baltimore game season opener when he had to come in the second half. I mean, he's just, I think, a really high-strung, competitive, not high-strung like in a personal sense,
yeah.
But highly competitive, strong guy. That's not even a word. But
an intense guy.
Yeah, he likes to win.
Yep.
We had him on our radio show last week, and we were just trying to have a little fun. I mentioned about the locker room ping pong tournament and how we had video of Eddie Yarbrough kind of handling him. And he shot me a look. He didn't say anything, but he gave me the worst stink I've received other than my wife's in the last several years. I mean, he looked at me like he was going to kill me because I mentioned that he had lost to Eddie Yarbrough. I think he wants to win at everything, and I think it shows. And I think his teammates appreciate that, too. I think they're picking up on that and seeing that. So it's pretty fun to watch his development.
As you watch the development, Murph, these last two games, that's one of the things we're talking about all morning. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. In these last two games, what are some of the differences or the development you see in Josh Allen as opposed to what we were watching before he was injured in Houston?
Well, I think he's learned how to run more effectively, I think. You know, he's always had that ability and that athletic ability. We saw it even in, you know, his win at Minnesota back on September 23rd. But now it appears that he knows how to slide better. I think he's worked on that. Yep. It appears that he knows when to take chances running and when not to. And I think that's an improvement. And I do think we're seeing him doing a better job of hanging in the pocket and making plays. That touchdown pass to Zay Jones last Sunday in Miami was really a beautiful NFL, high-end NFL caliber pass. And I think you know, he's got the capability to do that. He'll need to do that some more, obviously, and work more of that into his game. You know, I think the Bills like what they've seen so far, and they like how he's come back after the 4 weeks out with the injury, and I think they're looking for more. I think, you know, if they can get a couple of better things out of him every week, not, you know, huge steps. I'm not looking for 300-yard passing games yet, but a couple of steps forward every week over the final 4 weeks here, I think they'd be in really good shape going into next year.
I was looking at your storylines this week at BuffaloBills.com. The positive for Josh Allen is, wow, what a running threat he is. But the flip side is they need a more consistent running game from outside the quarterback. And it's been a struggle all season for LeSean McCoy. The one exception was the first game with the Jets. But you pointed that out. One of your storylines, the desperate search for a running game.
Yeah, and it continues, right? And you know, you'd think based on the fact that they ran it so well against the Jets back 4 weeks ago that they would like to do that. They would have a chance to do that this week. You know, they also got a good game from Marcus Murphy. His best game of the year, production-wise, was against the Jets 4 weeks ago. And now they have Chris Ivory back in the lineup. He did not play against the Jets. And, of course, it may be a bit different offensive line than they had against the Jets. Wyatt Teller started that Jets game. He remains in the starting lineup. Not quite sure what they're going to do with the other guard spot going into this game. It may be a little bit different than the first game, but I mean, it's almost comical to say it week 14, like, you know, can they get the running game going this week? Because it's been so inconsistent and actually bad for most of the first 13 weeks, but they still need to do it, especially down the stretch, especially playing, you know, home games and a lot of games now in bad weather, cold weather. They need to start running the ball well. I think McCoy feels the need to be more productive, and the offensive line 14 weeks in needs to play better, too. It's, as I said, it's crazy that we're talking about it that way, but that's the way it is. That's where they're at.
The Bills moved on this week from Kelvin Benjamin. Murph, why didn't that work out?
Yeah, it's a good question. puzzling because they had a little background on him, right? Both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott working with him in Carolina. You would think they had a pretty good book on what makes him tick, and clearly he wasn't ready to tick. I think there were physical issues in terms of his injury and his surgery in the offseason. I believe he had repaired meniscus in his knee this past offseason. He worked at it, you know, during the offseason. I can tell you that, you know, our studio, as you know, is kind of right in the field house, and there was a long stretch of time this past offseason when Kelvin Benjamin was the only guy there when everybody else was gone. and working out, trying to get back in shape and trying to rehab his surgically repaired knee. And it just didn't seem right. He just didn't seem comfortable with it. You know, a guy who never was a speed guy, I think, lost some of that whatever dynamic explosion he had as a result of that surgery and the recovery. So that was a problem. I think what bothered the Bills mostly might have been his approach to it, you know. And I think and they make no mistake about it. Sean McDermott has said he wants a leader, hopefully a veteran leader, in each one of the position group meeting rooms. And that's what Derek Anderson is all about, really. And that's what LeSean McCoy does for the running back group. They expected that Kelvin Benjamin would be that guy in the receiver group, which was a very inexperienced receiving group coming into the season. And he just never was. Whether it was because he didn't feel right physically or whether he's just not comfortable assuming that role, he never became the leader. I mean, just last week, and it was startling to me, somebody in the media asked Sean a question at a press conference about Benjamin's role as a leader. And Sean immediately started talking about Deontay Thompson, who'd been there for a week.
Right.
And I thought, that's revealing. You know, he's looking for somebody other than Kelvin Benjamin to be the leader and sort of the bell cow of that position group. And I think that bothered the Bills and McDermott as much as his lack of production. And his lack of production was pretty amazing, too. So I don't know why it didn't work. I think it's a combination of his physical makeup, his recovery from surgery, and his approach, his mental approach to it.
I think it's amazing, Murphy, when you look at it right now at the wide receiver depth chart. It's Zay Jones and, you know, I'm sure you saw this coming, right? Deontay Thompson, Robert Foster, Isaiah McKenzie, Ray McLeod. Maybe we'll see Cam Phillips before the season's out. It's amazing that you look at that group, how young it is, how inexperienced it is, and you know, open auditions, basically, for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. I think it's also a great opportunity. I mean, there's five receivers on the roster. Four of them are either first- or second-year guys. And we know, we've all said, they need receivers next year. They need to be active in free agency and in the draft and finding, you know, some talent at the receiver spot. Well, here are four guys, first- and second-year players, who have a golden opportunity to show that they belong on next year's preseason roster, that they deserve a chance to show what they can do next year. I mean, you kind of take Zay out of the picture. I think his spot
he's
is
here.
Settled,
right.
But you look at Robert Foster and Isaiah McKenzie, maybe Cam Phillips, you know, and some of the other guys they have there. Those guys got a chance now to prove themselves in regular season competition, to prove that they deserve a look next year, that they deserve to come back next year. That's a pretty good opportunity for them. I think the competition there is going to be pretty active over the final 4 weeks of the regular season here.
Have you finished your Christmas shopping for Kelso and Capaccio yet, or are you still looking?
Still looking.
Okay.
Yeah, both stuff to buy for.
You might be able to find some stuff around the building. I'm just, you know, I mean, it's a store. Yeah. So, you know, I just, you know. Thank you, as always, for your time, and we'll look forward to hearing the call on Sunday.
Okay. Thanks, Howard.
John Murphy, Wester Hotline, joining us here on Football Friday. Murph segment with us, brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills. We had Lorenzo Alexander on the show this morning. If you missed it, we're going to have some of that interview coming up top of the hour. We'll also talk a little bit more about the Jets. Yikes. They've lost six straight. The offense has completely disappeared. They do get Sam Darnold back, so they're in their Josh Allen boat where we were a couple of weeks ago. Hey, he was injured. Let's see if he looks better as he comes back from an injury. So we'll find out more about the Jets coming up around 9:15 this morning. Rich Cimini will join us from ESPN.com. All right, it is Football Friday, 803-0550. We're talking Sabres as well. We got Lorenzo Alexander's interview coming up at 9 o'clock. And we're going to help everybody out with a great deal for you. Now, we always visit with Mark Croce this time of year. And our deal of the day is, welcome. Mark,
welcome.
Nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
Buffalo Chop House, prime steaks, fresh seafood. We have a deal right now, mybuffaloperks.com. You can get a $50 gift card for only $25. So half, you save 50% right there again, right now at mybuffaloperks.com. You're always kind enough to join us with the deal this time of year, and I'm sure that we'll sell out as it does every year we have you on the show.
You're always kind enough to have us back. So obviously somebody in your company must like our steaks and seafood.
Well, you know, people like your steaks and seafood. So let's start with the deal that you get and what Buffalo Chop, for those that have never been to Buffalo Chop House, whether you're going downtown for a game or a show or anything down there, tell them about Buffalo Chop House.
Well, it's located in a great location right in the heart of the city. You know, a lot of people coming down for Hamilton could eat at the Buffalo Chop House, park with us for free, because we always offer free valet parking 365 nights a year, and walk right across to the show. So for those people that want to save $20-$25 on parking and $25 on your perk, what a deal, because it's a special event place, a lot of corporate events, a lot of hockey players, football players, and it's just the place to be. It's the Downtown Steakhouse. That's been a tradition since 2002. It's a prime steakhouse. I don't think anybody in Western New York can claim that they offer strictly prime. And this is why people that really want to enjoy a special event, a holiday, an anniversary party, an anniversary wedding, I mean, birthday parties, anything you can think of. When someone says, where do you want to go tonight? People will say, it's a special occasion. Let's go downtown to the Buffalo Chop House.
And the nice thing is you can use the gift card for yourself, or you can give it as
Absolutely.
A gift for somebody else. You can be selfish here.
We have some yourself. People buy 10 or 20 of them and hand them out as stocking stuffers and Christmas gifts and holiday gifts. And so it doesn't just have to be utilized as a gift. It could be utilized by people purchasing them for themselves.
You're a busy man. You got a lot going on and have been involved for years now with the Ice Ball. So let's talk about details. When, where, how. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of that.
Dominic, do you know about the Ice Ball?
His son Dominic is here, special guest.
Well, he's here to learn about the Ice Ball today. But it started in 2011 when we first...
It's been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
When we have the lower levels, the first three levels of Statler City. And now we're hoping to work with this new county plan to expand our convention center and make it a complex that's going to be great for all of Western New York. But in any event, Statler City, the Ice Ball, we have all the different rooms open with different entertainment, top-notch food. Your ticket price includes everything from soup to nuts, including parking and co-check and service charge and taxes. You go online to statlercity.com. Very simple process. Pick your table. Pick the room you want to be in for dinner. But then once you're in, you can go to all the different rooms for all the different entertainment. We have the Boys of Summer, the Big City Horns. We have multiple DJs. The party down in the Niagara Room for the younger dance crowd. It's a little bit of everything for everybody. It's the only place that we have that can hold 1,700 people on New Year's Eve. So it's really a great event to ring in the new year.
Well, like you said, since there are different types of music, you can sample, so to speak, whatever you want.
Right. I mean, if you're going to go out anyway on New Year's Eve, you might as well come downtown and go to one place that you can go to seven different venues under one roof and pay one ticket price and have access to everything.
You're going to love me for this. And, you don't want to be driving if you're going out to party, so you can stay at the Curtis Hotel.
You can if you're one of the lucky ones, because we only have a few rooms left.
I probably should ask you if you're
sold
out.
Very quick. I should put a 200-room expansion on that, because the Curtis Hotel has been so well-received by Western New Yorkers and out-of-towners. I mean, the most popular hotel in the city all through the summer, running almost 97% occupancy for 5 months in a row. It's just been on fire. The place is the most spectacular hotel right up the street from Statler City. But if you don't get a room soon, you're not going to be able to get one for New Year's Eve.
What else do you have in the hotel? Spa, restaurant?
We have the Urban Hot Springs. We have the Shazami restaurant with the revolving bar. We have View Rooftop Lounge that features four bars of its own with a spectacular view of Lake Erie. And it's just a great gathering place with indoor outdoor areas and a giant fire pit. For people that haven't experienced the Curtis Hotel, it was built is a place not only for the out-of-towners or for hotel guests, but for our locals as well. You can come in and you can utilize the rooftop. You can come to the main bar, the revolving bar, which was home of the original Shazami. And, it's a place that caters not only to, like I said, hotel guests, but if you're looking for a night out or if you want a staycation and you live locally but just want to get away from your daily doldrums and want to book a room, we got some great deals going on right now. We have our own gift certificate promotion. If you buy a $250, you get a $50 bonus certificate, and those have been selling like hotcakes. So great place to stay, great place to visit. It's an icon for Western New York. It's quickly become the most popular little five-star property in downtown Buffalo, and it's really put Buffalo on the map for high-end lodging accommodations.
And the kid sitting on your lap, you going to be working for him someday?
Actually, he's teaching me a few things. He knows about Fortnite and all these other crazy things.
Oh, there you go.
I just learned in the other studio what he wants for Christmas. He said PS4. I said, what is that? I
guess solid.
He's
solid
gonna,
gift.
He's going to give me an education.
That's a good gift.
Who did you see this morning when we were getting coffee?
Jack Eichel.
And then is it true that the Buffalo Sabres are going to be up at the View Rooftop Lounge at the Curtis Hotel on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
Are you going to be there to see them, or are you going to be working?
Working?
It depends.
You're putting your kid to work on New Year's Eve?
Well, he's 9 years old. He's eligible now. Somebody's got to count the customers.
All right. I hope you're paying him a good rate.
He gets paid the best.
Okay. All right. Well, let's remind two things. One, Ice Ball tickets, statlercity.com, right?
Right. Statlercity.com. Easy to buy.
And if you want to take advantage of the deal of the day with the Buffalo Chop House, mybuffaloperks.com. Get $50 at the Buffalo Chop House, and it only costs you $25. These do sell fast.
They
so don't
sure
waste
do.
Any time. Get to mybuffaloperks.com. So, yeah, well, good luck with everything.
Well, listen.
Not that you're busy or anything.
Well, you know, you're
busy. You got
busy.
Nothing going on.
We're all busy. We just bring in another year and just keep pushing it forward. And got a couple new projects on the horizon for next year. And we're just going to keep making Buffalo a better place for all the folks that haven't been in a while to come down and see. So, you know, stay tuned and keep supporting Buffalo. And we'll keep supporting your station. And thanks for the business.
Our pleasure. Well, downtown is a great place to be.
And it's getting better every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you very much, Mark. Always good
you.
To
Happy
talk
holidays.
To you. When we get back, Football Friday, Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker, up next, WGR.